Help to be given to our schools. January 29, 1900. Typed. I have not been able to sleep since 1 o'clock. I am troubled in regard to the debt on Battle Creek College. I now ask the Review and Herald what it will do to relieve the situation. In the night season, I seem to see several looking over the account books of the Review and Herald. In these books was recorded the interest on the monies loaned to the school. Notwithstanding the light given by God, $10,000 were called for, and double that amount was used in building an addition to the school. The Review and Herald had much to do in this matter. These things must be considered. The Review and Herald is not required to pay the college debt, for if this were done, calls would be made for other schools to be helped in the same way. But the interest on this debt should be made as low as possible. Interest should not be charged upon interest. Neither should those who have loaned money charge a higher rate of interest than they themselves pay. One institution should have the tenderest and most kindly feelings for its sister institution. The work done in one is as much the Lord's work as the work done in the other. The time has come when the Lord would have all the powers of His people brought into exercise to relieve the situation of our schools. In order to help in this cause, I have proposed giving my book on the parables. I feel very anxious that the General Conference shall act unselfishly in regard to this book, which is to be published to help the schools. This is a time when the conference should stand before the people in a better light than it has hitherto done. We shall call upon the people to help to the utmost of their ability just now. We shall call upon them to do a work which will be pleasing to God in purchasing the book. We shall ask that every available means be used to help to circulate this book. We shall ask that, if possible, the whole field be supplied with canvassers. We shall call upon our ministers, as they visit the churches, to encourage men and women to go out as canvassers, to make a decided forward movement in the path of self-denial by giving part of their earnings to help our schools to get out of debt. Surely they can do this much to help the Master. A general movement is needed, but this must begin with individual movements. Let each member in each family, in each church, make determined efforts to deny self. Let us have the wholehearted cooperation of all in our ranks. Let us all move forward willingly and intelligently to do what we can to relieve those of our schools that are struggling under a pressure of debt. Let the officers of each church find out who among the members has been sent to school and helped by the school. Then, let the church refund the tuition money. Let those who have had success in canvassing come up to the help of the Lord. As they handle this book, let them, in the name of the Lord, work in faith. The movement I have suggested will result in reconciliation. It will unify the churches. If all will help to lift the debts on our schools, the publishing house in Battle Creek will be strengthened to do its part. Therefore, it is for the interest of the school in Battle Creek to act a full part in helping to pay back the money that has been so long bound up in it. The schools must be helped. Let all lift harmoniously and help as much as they possibly can. Great blessings will come to those who will take hold of this matter just now. Let no discouragement be offered by our ministers, as though it were not a proper thing to do. They should take hold of this work. If they do it aright, cheerfully, hopefully, they will find in it a very great blessing. The Lord does not force any man to work, but to those who will place themselves decidedly on His side, He will give a willing mind. He will bless the one who works out the Spirit which he works in. God will make the movement for the help of our schools a success if it is made in a free, willing spirit, as to the Lord. Only in this way can be rolled back the reproach that has come upon our schools all over the land. If all will take hold of this work in the spirit of self-sacrifice, for Christ's sake and for the truth's sake, it will not be long before the Jubilee Song of Freedom can be sung throughout our borders. Let our ministers consecrate themselves to God. We need so much, oh so much, humble men who feel it a pleasure to do their very best. A glorious gospel work opens before the converted, faithful minister. He is to help his fellow men to a better understanding of the Word. The influence exerted by the minister with whom God works is weighty and momentous. The Lord is highly pleased with the minister who works humbly and willingly. Those who are wholly consecrated to God will ever seek wisdom from on high to enable them to bear their heavy responsibilities. They will be patient, forbearing, courteous, knowing that they are Christ's representatives. They will show a deep earnestness and fervor in prayer and in their appeals to individuals and to congregations. There are in the ministry young men who have been receiving wages from the conference, yet whose labors bring nothing in, who are only consumers. I have been instructed that this need not be. It would not be if our young ministers were worked by the Spirit of God. Some of our ministers might better stop and consider. Let them ask themselves how much they have received from the conference and how much their labors have been blessed in the conversion of souls. If you are not producers as well as consumers, what is the value of your work? How can the cause of God sustain as workers those who are not sanctified by the truth? Begin at the beginning of this year to consecrate yourselves to God. Wait not. Make an entire surrender. Should not our ministers study this question? Many of our young ministers, if truly converted, would do much good by entering the canvassing field. They would there obtain an experience in faith. Their knowledge of the Scriptures would greatly increase, because, as they imparted to others the light given them, they would receive more to impart. Let them enter the canvassing field and see what they can do in the way of producing. By meeting people and presenting to them our publications, they will gain an experience which they could not gain by simply preaching. As they go from house to house, they can converse with those whom they meet, carrying with them the fragrance of Christ's life. The faithful, youthful Timothy was taught by experienced men of God's appointment how to read the Word and how to explain it to others. Paul, his father in the gospel, addressed him in the words, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy 2, verse 1-3. It is the canvasser's duty to cultivate the talents God has given him, to maintain his connection with God, to help always where he can. He has positive and constant need of the angelic ministration, for he has an important work to do, a work that he cannot do in his own strength. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph through our Lord Jesus Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God as a sweet savor in Christ, in them that are saved, and in them that perish. To the one we are as a savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14-16. In his work, the canvasser will be brought in contact with those who are in feeble health, who need the light on health reform, and with those who are dissatisfied with their religious experience, who are longing for something which they have not. To these, he is to open the word of truth, rightly interpreting its meaning. For we are not as many who corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Verse 17. Ever remember that there are those who teach for doctrine the commandments of men. They make void the law of God by their traditions, like the Pharisees whom Christ exposed, saying, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, nor the power of God." Matthew 22, verse 29. The precious gems of truth are buried beneath a mass of error. By the sophistry of religious teachers, the meaning of the plain, clear Word of God is hidden. The people are left in perplexity. By his work, the converted, consecrated canvasser is sowing the seeds of truth. This work must be done without delay, for we have but a short time in which to work. Everything that can be done to reach the people must be done. Speak to them in a way that will win their confidence. Pray for the sick. Ask the Lord to restore and heal suffering humanity. He has declared, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Mark 16, verse 17.
Men and women are wandering in the mist and fog of error. They want to know what is truth. Tell them, not in high-flown language, but with the simplicity of children of God. Satan is on your track. He is an artful opponent, and the malignant spirit which you meet in your work is inspired by him. Those whom he controls echo his words. If the veil could be rent away from their eyes, those thus worked would see Satan plying all his arts to win them from the truth. There are those who do not believe in the personality of Satan. These do not oppose his work in their hearts. They are ignorant of his devices. Instead of becoming like the world, we are to become more and more distinct from the world. Satan has combined, and will continue to combine, with the churches in making a masterly effort against the truth of God. Everything that is done by God's people to make inroads upon the world will call forth determined opposition from the powers of darkness. The enemy's last great conflict will be a most determined one. It will be the last battle between the powers of darkness and the powers of light. Every true child of God will fight bravely on the side of Christ. Those who in this crisis allow themselves to be more on the side of the world than of God will eventually place themselves wholly on the side of the world. Those who become confused in their understanding of the Word, who fail to see the meaning of Antichrist, will surely place themselves on the side of Antichrist. There is no time now for us to assimilate with the world. Daniel is standing in his lot and in his place. The prophecies of Daniel and of John are to be understood. They interpret each other. They give to the world truths which everyone should understand. These prophecies are to be witnesses in the world. By their fulfillment in these last days, they will explain themselves. The Lord is about to punish the world for its iniquity. He is about to punish religious bodies for their rejection of the light and truth which has been given them. The great message, combining the first, second, and third angels' messages, is to be given to the world. This is to be the burden of our work. Those who truly believe in Christ will openly conform to the law of Jehovah. The Sabbath is the sign between God and his people, and we are to make visible our conformity to the law of God by observing the Sabbath. It is to be the mark of distinction between God's chosen people and the world. It means much to be true to God. This embraces health reform. It means that our diet must be simple, that we must be temperate in all things.
The many varieties of food so often seen on tables is not necessary, but highly injurious. Mind and body are to be preserved in the best condition of health. Only those who have been trained in the knowledge and fear of God should be chosen to take responsibilities. Those who have been long in the truth, yet who cannot distinguish between the pure principles of righteousness and the principles of evil, whose understanding in regard to justice, mercy, and the love of God is beclouded, should be relieved of responsibilities. A new board of directors should be formed, of men who give evidence that they will not deviate from the way of righteousness. A change must be made. Things must be so ordered that Christ will be recognized in every movement made. Those who occupy positions on boards or committees should be men who seek the Lord with their whole heart, men who preserve the humility found by seeking counsel from God. All the planning of men will come to nothingness if unchristlike attributes are woven into the work. It is wisdom to place in position of responsibility and influence only those who give full proof of their ability, who show that they are able to fulfill in a proper way their weighty trusts. Positions have been given to young, inexperienced men, which ought to have been given to men who had an experience gained in the early history of the world. Let positions of trust be given to experienced, God-fearing, proved men. Men who will bear the messages of reproof sent by God. When men trust in men and make flesh their arm, when they show that they know not the voice of Him who is the only source of wisdom and power, let responsibilities be taken from them and given to men who wait on the Lord, who do not consider their time so valuable that they cannot take part of it for prayer, who will not dare to move without divine counsel. To men and women, God has entrusted gifts and endowments. Those who keep these gifts and endowments pure, holy, and consecrated will be guided by the Holy Spirit. God will be their help and stay, and to Him will they ascribe all the glory.
Daniel declared, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings, and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him." Daniel 2, verse 20 to 22. There is no position so lofty that God cannot cut down those occupying it. There is no humiliation so great that God cannot raise up humble men to enjoy the richest blessing. The Lord works to humble human pride, to develop a spirit of true submission to His will. He cannot work with men who counterwork His purposes. Those who use their perceptive powers to create an order of things which turns aside God's purposes will lose the powers which, if exercised aright, would have increased and strengthened. God honors those who seek Him in sincerity, humbling self and exalting Him. But when men will not consent to walk in the counsel of God, their wisdom is removed from them. They become incapable of knowing God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. God has important lessons for His people to learn. Had these lessons been learned before, His cause would not be where it is today. One thing must be done. The truth is not to be withheld from ministers or men in positions of responsibility for fear of incurring their displeasure. There are to be connected with our institutions men who with meekness and in wisdom will declare the whole counsel of God. God's wrath is kindled against those who in carnal security and pride have shown contempt for His management. They are endangering the prosperity of the cause. Every false way is a deception, and if sustained, will in the end bring destruction.
Thus, the Lord permits those who maintain false plans to be destroyed. At the very time when praise and adulation is heard, sudden destruction comes. There are those who, notwithstanding they know of the reproof received by others because of unfaithfulness, turn away from admonition. These are doubly guilty. They knew the Lord's will and did it not. Their punishment will be proportionate to their guilt. They would not take heed to the word of the Lord.